Last week in Brainerd, elected officials, business leaders, and media were invited to an information session on rail investment and rail safety improvements. Joining us now is Amy McBeth. She's the Director of Public Affairs for BNSF. It stands for Burlington Northern and Santa Fe Railway. Is that right, Amy?
That's right. That's right.
Okay.
Good morning.
Thanks for being with us. So let's talk a little bit about the industry of rail, because I think sometimes we think of it as being a little bit old-fashioned. Where are you at right now in current times?
Well, one of the things, you're absolutely right. People think of, when they think of railroads, is this 150-year-old industry, which certainly we are, but we're also on the cutting edge of technology today with some of the technologies that are utilized every day by railroads and by BNSF in particular. And then it's also important to remember that all of the industries that are served and the commodities that are hauled by railroads and the importance that they provide with that transportation to today's economy, particularly in the state of Minnesota, where we know that a strong railroad network is vitally important for us to be able to move agricultural commodities and other products.
So what kind of things does BNSF transport by freight?
Well, you know, certainly anything you can think of, typically that we use or consume in a day, at one point would have been hauled by railroads. When you look at products in Minnesota in particular, what BNSF shipped out of Minnesota last year, industrial products, agricultural products, consumer products, those are things that move in trailers or containers, the TVs and clothes and things like that that you buy off the store shelf. And then we also ship products to Minnesota, a lot of coal, consumer products, and egg products as well. So again, pretty much anything that you can think of moves by rail at some point.
Do you transport cars, new cars?
That's right. It's another important point. New motor vehicles that are moved by train and then trucked, essentially offloaded from the train and then trucked to auto dealers in the region.
Tell us about the impact, the economic impact of BNSF on Minnesota.
When you look at the economic impact, it's just simply enormous. Again, many of these communities developed around or because of the railroad, but it's really important to realize that today these railroads are a significant economic contributor to the state of Minnesota. We have about 2,300 employees. Those are good paying jobs in the state of Minnesota. Typical or total payroll, I should say, is over $170 million in the state. So very significant contributor just in employees. But when you look at beyond that, the impact on these other industries, again, from agricultural commodities to timber products, industrial products, all of those industries rely heavily on having a rail transportation network. So significant economic input here.
So in the past few years, there's been some bad rep with, as far as rail having problems with oil and explosions and safety and things like that. How have you addressed that?
One of the reasons we have been increasing our communication in communities and holding meetings like we held in Brainerd this week is to really have those conversations. And we certainly understand the safety concerns. BNSF and the rail industry overall took very specific steps in terms of moving crude by rail. And some of those things include stricter operating procedures when you're moving crude by rail. So slower maximum speeds. We've increased track inspections. We have increased our wayside detectors. Those are things that will alert you if there's an issue, a mechanical issue with a car, for example. Very specific steps that we have taken to further increase safety and reduce potential risk. And it's also important to really understand the facts. While we understand the concern and took very specific actions, when you look at the rate of incidents and accidents, rail transportation is incredibly safe. We have reduced, as an industry, by more than 80% over the last several decades, the rate of accidents, the rate of derailments, and employee injuries. So when you look at those actual safety, it's a very safe industry.
So when we're driving around in a car, we know when a road's bad, we complain, and we complain about it, but we always see rails. We don't necessarily always see people working on the railroads. What do they do? What kind of safety things do they do? If there's a span of rail between Grand Rapids and Duluth, how often is that inspected?
When it comes to track inspections, we have a really robust track inspection program. Railroads are regulated by the Federal Railroad Administration, the FRA, and the rate of inspections that we conduct are double what are required by the FRA because we have every incentive to operate safely. That allows us to continue to serve our customers and continue to move trains across our network. So our industry is privately owned and privately maintained. So unlike your roadway where you as a taxpayer, you pay to maintain that road, you pay to build that road, railroads own and maintain their own infrastructure. So again, we have every incentive to have sound, robust infrastructure so that we can continue to operate safely. And that's one of the reasons it's a very capital intensive business. Railroads have to put a lot of money in to their infrastructure. And we know over looking over the course of the past several years that the more your network is maintained, that's one of those additional ways that we work to reduce risk. So particularly when you look at what we've invested in Minnesota, in 2016, we invested about $150 million. That's BNSF alone in our network in Minnesota. And that goes through things like if you see crews out working, replacing ties, for example, or relaying rail, that's just continual maintenance projects that we do throughout, particularly up in this part of the country, throughout the summer months to keep our infrastructure sound.
We're talking with Amy Macbeth today. She's the Director of Public Affairs for BNSF Railway. Amy, like we said, railroads, railways have been around for a long time. What are some of the new tools that you're using for safety?
Again, when you look at some of the things that we're doing for safety, it's those ongoing investments that we've talked about in terms of maintaining our infrastructure. But then we're also deploying enormous amounts of technology and gathering that data. And we're using it. We're looking at it to understand in a predictive way as well when we should be doing maintenance so that we can take care of things beforehand. And the examples of that are along the tracks, you'll see detectors that are along the tracks. And as a train moves over those detectors, it's really calculating and assessing the health of the equipment moving over that. All of that data is gathered. And if there's an issue, if there's a problem with the wheel, if it's making a thumping sound, for example, that will be a trigger that will go to our big data center and alert the train crew to pull over and set that car out depending on the level of alert that it received. That's one example of the technology we're using. We're also using drones for supplemental inspections on our bridges and other infrastructure. It's not taking the place of a track inspector and what he's doing, but it's additional technology that we're leveraging using drones in that way. Another example is positive train control. That was a federal mandate that BNSF actually had been working on that technology before then, and by the end of the year, we'll have that fully in place on our routes where it's going to be deployed in Minnesota. And that is this safety overlay where it uses GPS and Wi-Fi and trackside technology as well as technology in the locomotives. And if a train is over-speeding or it's out of its limits, for example, on those routes that have that positive train control, it will stop the train. So it's an additional safety overlay. So again, when you look at the railroad industry, an enormous amount of technology that we've developed and that we're continuing to deploy and use in terms of just further increasing safety of our operation.
So Amy, I've seen some 1-800 numbers at some of your crossarms. How quickly is the response to those phone calls?
Well, again, it depends on what the incident is. We have an 800 number that's posted at all those grade crossings. It's 800-832-5452. We encourage anyone in the public, if you have an incident, for example, if there's an automobile accident near the tracks and somehow a car is hung up on the tracks, you want to get that train traffic stopped immediately. You want to call that number, and they have the ability to get in touch with the crew very quickly and stop train traffic. If that is a number that's used if you have a concern or an issue about the grade crossing in particular or anything else, we encourage people to call that number. But again, that goes right to our Resource Operations Center, and they have the ability to get in touch with the train crew nearly immediately if there is an emergency situation. So we always want to make sure that the public can call that number and understand that we respond to those incidents very quickly. And, of course, we work with law enforcement, local law enforcement, where needed on those incidents as well.
How do you determine what crossing gets arms?
The railroad itself doesn't determine how those crossings are protected. You're talking about the crossing gates and lights.
Yeah.
Those are what we would call active warning devices at grade crossings, because those are for the motoring public. Those are not signals for the train crew or for railroad operations. Those are for the public using those streets that cross the railroad. So the railroad itself doesn't determine that. That's a DOT issue, and certainly once that's determined how those should be protected, the railroad will work with the state DOT and the road authority to install whatever those warning devices should be, and then, of course, we maintain them moving forward.
You know, where we're sitting here in Grand Rapids at KEXE, we're near train tracks, and we can hear a whistle once in a while. I know you love that sound, right,
yeah,
John?
Yeah, I love that sound.
But for some people, they may not like that sound, and you have things like quiet zones. Can you kind of explain that a little bit? When do they need to have those whistles blown, and what's it like out there?
Well, train operations, again, are regulated by the Federal Railroad Administration, and the reason for that is I really want to have consistent rules for railroads operating, because we are a national network. While we understand the importance to local communities and to the state of Minnesota to have this strong rail network, it is a network. So those operations are guided by federal rules, and that is the case with the train horn, which is a federal, it's called the Federal Train Horn Rule, and that dictates very specifically that sound that you all know well, of two long sounds, a short and a long sound of a train train horn as it's approaching a crossing. So each train needs to signal that, and that train horn is used for safety. If there is a program as a part of that federal rule that if communities want to pursue a quiet zone, the local road authority can work to do that, and there's many communities across our network, many in the state as well, that have quiet zones. And the way that works is the local road authority initiates that process with the FRA and with the railroad. And often there will need to be supplemental safety measures put in place. They conduct a diagnostic at the crossing. And you might see if you have crossing gates, you might have to add additional gates. You'd have four quad gates that would come down on both sides of the road. You know, or a median, for example, is another example of a safety measure that might need to be put in place. And again, that is because if you take away the automatic sounding of the train horn, it's been determined there might need to be additional safety measures, depending on what situation you have there locally. So that's a process that can be initiated by the local community working through the FRA, and that's, you know, clearly spelled out in that federal train horn rule as well.
Amy, before we go, anything we might have missed you'd like to add?
Just again, that you know, the reason we're having these conversations in communities across Minnesota is to maybe broaden the conversation. Safety is paramount for us and for our own employees and the communities and customers where we serve and operate. And so we're just appreciate the chance to also provide a broader perspective on the importance and the benefit of Minnesota having this strong rail network. And the fact that that network is here allows other businesses and farmers to be able to get their commodities to market. So without that rail network, Minnesota would be at a real disadvantage. And we're pleased to be able to continue to invest in that so that we can serve our customers across the state.
Amy McBeth, Director of Public Affairs for BNSF, thanks for talking with us today.
Thanks so much for your time. I appreciate your interest.
You're welcome. This is the Thursday Morning Show.